Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for Thy grace which Thou hast extended toward the children of men. We thank Thee for His love which moved Him to come, to suffer, to die for us. We thank Thee for Thy kindness and Thy grace in bringing the gospel to us so that we could hear it and believe it and be saved. We thank Thee for it. Add Thy blessing now as we study, and by the work of Thy Holy Spirit, open our hearts and show us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we continue in our study in the book of Matthew, we come now to things that happened immediately upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The record of the death of Jesus of Nazareth, as given in this Gospel of Matthew, is really a simple account in narrative fashion. We go through these tremendous things, and we could be struck by the fact that there are very few adjectives and very few adverbs. We're simply told what happened, I almost said without comment. But it happened within the context of the Bible. Everything in the Bible presses in on this moment. There was this ever-darkening course of events in his affairs until, at last, he was dead. And in it, we could see all the ugliness of man's sinful nature hinted at in the fact that man killed him. The fullness of man's hatred against God is to be felt in that man killed the Son of God. And the measure of God's grace toward us is to be felt, that knowing it would be so, He sent His only begotten Son that we might be saved. The strength of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is shown in that He willingly endured this. And the whole price of our redemption is to be seen in this death on Calvary's cross. And so He died. But now, in our study, in our reading, when we come to verse 54, chapter 27, verse 54, the testimony of believing men is to be seen. With all the darkness and all the rejection and all the hatred, that's not all the story. There's more. And now we read, for example, in chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." When it says they feared greatly, it means to say they were deeply impressed, deeply moved. And their impression was, surely, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, you know, that simple statement impresses me, because the centurion was right there. If I were to wonder what I would have thought, well, suppose I stand right beside the centurion. It is to be noted he was watching Jesus, and he saw the earthquake and those things that were done, things that are beyond us to grasp practically. But he recognized them, and he believed. And then I compare him with those men back in verse 42, who chief priests, scribes, and elders who threw it up to him. He saved others, himself he cannot save, and went on to say, "If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, we will believe him." The thieves also cast this in his teeth. But the centurion was right there. He saw all these things, and he believed. You see, the same reaction doesn't come from every man. Those who really are unwilling never do. But those whose hearts are open can be brought to faith. And now in verses 55 to 56, we see another company of believers. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joses the mother of Zebedee's children. To the everlasting credit of women, they were faithful. In the darkest hour, they stood by. And of course you are so interested and impressed with Mary Magdalene, the one out of whom went seven devils, a wicked woman. She had been saved. And in this hour, she stood by her Lord. And by the way, let me draw your attention to this other Mary. Mary, the mother of James and Joses, the mother of Zebedee's children. You've heard of her before. And I think that many people, in thinking of her, are inclined to belittle her. This is the woman who wanted a special place for her two sons. You remember? She came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Grant that one sit on the right hand and the other on the left." And I expect you and I and almost everyone would, generally speaking, be inclined to belittle her. We'd be inclined to call her selfish. I think sometimes we'd be inclined to call her proud or vain. And first thing you know, you'd be inclined to think she was superficial. Wait a minute. Here she is. In this dark hour, when the worst and the best of men have united, the thieves and the chief priests and the elders and scribes made a common cause of this thing of rejecting Jesus Christ, left it for the centurion to say, "Truly this was the Son of God." But here stands Mary, the mother of James and Joses, the mother of Zebedee's children. This is the one. There she is. So let's not be too quick to read motives of a low nature into someone else's intentions and ideas, even when they're wrong. You and I know from what happened that her request for her sons was not granted, but that doesn't mean she wasn't a real believing woman. But here they are. And now we move on to one of the most wonderful things that I think that happened. In this darkest hour, a light shines, beginning in verse 57. When the Lord Jesus would have been counted as being rejected by all the world, but the truth is, not all. Oh, whenever you hear those things said, "Everybody says so-and-so," not everybody. "It's the common judgment of all the people." I doubt it. There will be some that don't belong in there. It may be the common judgment of many people and of the most of the people, but not all. In this case, as was Joseph of Arimathea. Let me read the passage to you. "When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed." Again, a simple account of a simple act, and yet not so simple. Look at it. You know what has happened. They've all, in a general, publicly, repudiated him. Chief priests, scribes, elders, thieves have sneered at him and made fun of him. His own disciples were gone. Now comes this man, this lone exception, a layman, if you will, not a priest, not a scribe, a layman, not one of the elders. A responsible citizen. A rich man. Rather fearful man. We read elsewhere that he believed in the Lord Jesus, but he didn't make public profession because he was afraid of the Jews. Certainly he was a cautious man. He was careful. But he was a disciple. He was a believer. And in this dark hour, he came forward. And would you mind if I were to say to you that this, to my mind, points to the greatest hope I can think of in my own day and time, when there is so much being said and done that would cast aspersion on the Bible, when so many people will give you the suggestion that maybe it needs to be changed or something needs to be done with it, that maybe the gospel that was believed generations ago is not good enough now, we need something new. When you have all this, and especially even from many of our leaders, from our top flight leaders, would leave you with the impression that you ought to have something else than the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I personally am inclined to think? It will be the laymen. The laymen of the church have their chance. They come forward. At a time when the leaders repudiated him, this layman came forward. He went to Pilate and asked for his body. Sounds just like a businessman. It's practical. This needed to be done. He was able. Then he took him down and wrapped him in clean linen cloth. In case you want to study more closely sometime, this whole crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will notice that when he was being brought to death, the people that handled him were unbelieving, cruel, callous people. And Almighty God allowed it to happen. But may I say something to you? That after it was known that he was dead, the only hands that ever touched his body were the loving hands of believing people. That from this time on he's going to be treated with reverence and with love and with heartbroken sympathy. This man wrapped him in a clean linen cloth and put him in his own new tomb. Then in verse 61 we read, "There was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre." Don't miss what we see here. Who was it that watched over him? This sinful woman. Today, when men criticize and reject the Bible as they do, who may we expect will line up for the Word of God? I'll tell you who. Laymen who believe and sinners who are saved. Our God and Heavenly Father, keep us faithful and true to Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.